This is Jim Alger, and this is Common Sense.
Oh, say can you see?
Change will not come if we wait for some other person.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Or if we wait for some other time.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
We are the ones we've been waiting for.
Why do the Republicans hate America? Their only play right now in Congress is to hope the Democratic Party fails.
The airport experience is an abomination, and the airlines, for example, have capitalized on our fear and on our worries.
America comes in 37th in terms of the quality of care and its affordability.
I can't afford health care, you know, as it stands.
I just want to say Congressman King is an idiot.
It's not even us in the U.S., it's us in China now.
It's us in China.
It's going to be us, Russia, and China.
It's the EU.
I don't know why in the world we would have anybody like this as a congressman to make such a blatant, idiotic statement.
Oh, please, Mayor Antonio, please shut up. Don't say anything. Just be quiet.
The insurance industry has been accused of running a shadow campaign here, of pretending to cooperate on one hand and yet funding the kind of accusations that we hear coming up in the mainstream media while disavowing and washing their hands of it.
We are in the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression.
The buzzword of the day is not torture. The buzzword of the day is enhanced interrogation techniques. Can we just agree to call it torture? This is Common Sense Radio, 415-762-1161. 415-762-1161 is our direct line. We are going to start the show off today with major breaking news out of Port-au-Prince, Haiti, where a 7.0 earthquake hit a few hours ago. And they are reporting the presidential palace, the parliament, the national cathedral are all reported as being destroyed. This is a major, major event in Haiti. Obviously, the United States is coordinating a response as we speak, and we're getting news in via Twitter and other and Facebook and other things as to what's going on there. But we, of course, the obvious phone lines are down, power's out, cell phone communication spotty at best. Haiti TV is reporting that the Public Works Ministry, Palace of Justice, the cathedral, Notre Dame, de Port-au-Prince, which is a national cathedral, are all destroyed. So this is going to obviously affect probably most of, if not the entire nation of Haiti and the surrounding areas. So we'll try to keep you guys apprised as this story develops, or if we get any more news as this is going on. In local U.S. news, the past week has been a real fiasco for Nevada Senator Harry Reid. And we're going to have a little conversation about this, but I'm going to introduce Natalie Walker with Walker Media from the United Kingdom is here with me today. Natalie, hello.
Hello, Jim. Thanks for having me on the show again.
And we are waiting for Janie Bourne to call in, and she is our gossip guru, so to speak. So she'll be calling in here shortly to talk about some of the other stories that are going on, including Gloria Allred up to her same old tricks again. Conan O'Brien, Jay Leno has just all hell's broken loose at NBC, and the news is currently that Conan O'Brien is leaving NBC News and the Tonight Show. So we're going to discuss that a little bit later on in the show, but I want to start off the show with what is going on with Senator Harry Reid of Nevada. Now, this past weekend started off with Republican RNC Chairman Michael Steele really finding himself in a vice where he was had kind of gone off the reservation with his party. He was being attacked from within. And then over the weekend, excerpts from the book Game Change were released. And this started to let slip some of what had gone on during the 2008 presidential campaign.
This is the book. This is the book by the campaign aides, isn't it?
It's written by two journalists, but the sources are all campaign aides, senior campaign aides, from all the campaigns. And I think the one who really comes out the big loser in this is the Edwards family. Everyone's got skin in this game in that the book talks about everything from Clinton apparently having another affair that they were trying to keep under wraps to backbiting, or for lack of a better term, between Joe Biden and then Senator Obama. Discussions about Joe Lieberman potentially being the nominee for Vice President of the United States with John McCain. Of course, we've already known about the dunce cap mentality of Sarah Palin. So it's really been everyone gets hit in this book. But the most latest victim of this has been Senator Harry Reid, who made the quote, probably thought off the record, but told someone that Barack Obama was a acceptable person to run to the general electorate, in part because he was a light-skinned black man who did not speak with a, quote, Negro dialect unless he wanted one, unquote. Now, this, of course, sent the right wing all a Twitter. And Joe Scarborough this morning on Morning Joe decides to just lose his mind and talk about the disparity between Trent Lott and Leader Reid, and the other Republicans have gone so far as to call for Leader Reid's resignation. And besides pointing out that the compare the two are ludicrous, I think I should go a little bit further and actually point out why comparing the two things are ludicrous. First of all, Trent Lott had made comments at the birthday party of Strom Thurmond that the country would have been a better place if a segregationist had been elected president of the United States. Trent Lott was in a leadership position of the Republican Party, which, let's be honest, has not exactly been known for civil rights and social justice causes. So if a double standard exists in that a Democrat could, quote unquote, get away with making a statement like this, setting aside whether or not it's actually a racist statement, whether or not a Democrat, you know, was saying this, is completely based on the history of that person. It doesn't play into a pre-existing narrative, what we call in the business, a pre-existing narrative, a story that is already there regarding Harry Reid. What it did, however, play into a pre-existing narrative of Trent Lott, Southerner from Mississippi. Let's be honest, they don't exactly have a great record on race relations in the United States. So it wasn't Republicans that were marching next to Cesar Chavez and Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy. It was Democrats who were doing it. It wasn't Republicans that put forward processes like Social Security and Medicare. That was the Democratic Party that did that. It wasn't Republicans that put forward civil rights and pushed forward civil rights legislation in the 60s. It was Democrats that did that. So with that backdrop, yes, Democrats are going to get away with it a little bit more. And I say get away with it in a loose term because now I'll jump out of the frying pan into the fire and say, is what Senator Harry Reid said factually untrue? No, it's not. It's a true statement. One of the things that bothers me is that, we have a joke in Washington. It says that the definition of a gaffe in Washington is whenever a politician mistakenly says the truth. And this is just one of those occasions where Harry Reid was making an assessment of the electorate, not necessarily his own personal beliefs, but the electorate, and was saying something that was factually true. Now, whether or not you want to use the term Negro dialect, well, that's kind of an old term to say. To say the word Negro is kind of old, but that was a couple decades ago. But Harry Reid's 70 years old, so that's kind of in his vernacular. I've always had a problem with what we term as politically correct. I mentioned a couple weeks ago to a friend of mine that There was a, I forgot if I said Asian or Oriental, but they looked at me like, oh my God, how could you dare say that? And I says, what are you talking about? That's what they are. You know, it's like calling me European. Okay, it's where my family's from. So I take issue with being able to say one thing one day and not be able to say it the next day, but that's a whole other kettle of fish. But for Joe Scarborough to sit there and act as if this is somehow a massive double standard and that you can compare a Democrat, let alone the Democratic leader, Harry Reid, to Trent Lott, it's beyond disingenuous. And it really is silly season in Washington when we are down. You know, I really wish that one of these days somebody would get these senators. I mean, these are esteemed people, elected leaders. I wish they'd get them on Hardball or something. And they would just say, sir, how old are you? When did you leave the schoolyard? When are we going to start worrying about things that actually matter? And, you know, to the other thing that they compared Senator Reid to this morning on Morning Joe was Don Imus. Well, you can't compare. You're going to compare the leader of the United States Senate to a radio shock jock who made a million misstatements before he finally got caught saying something that I actually thought was, you know, given Don Imus's history, it wasn't that big of a deal. But it's for whatever reason, you've got some people who feel the need to be hypersensitive on race whenever it suits their needs. And I don't know, Natalie, maybe it's both parties that are doing it. It's kind of funny to watch the Republican Party right now take up the cause of race relations in the United States. That's I cannot tell you. To me, that's almost akin to someone from the Aryan Nations taking up the Jewish cause.
I mean, yeah, I completely agree with you. I think it's hilarious that the Republican Party are taking up the cause of race relations. I mean, their candidate for VP in the 2008 election, their candidate for VP called, and I was about to say that she practically called the Democratic nominee for president a terrorist, but she didn't just
She pretty much did.
And
well, here's where my concern comes in, and I see this on the left a lot more than the right. This is really an aberration, the right going crazy about this. Usually we see the left call everything racially motivated. And of course, that leaves, you know, the thing is to call someone a racist. If someone says some really bad things, then okay. But generally speaking, to call someone a racist is a conversation ender because you can't disprove that usually. And the person who is being accused of being a racist ends up floundering with something stupid like, I can't be a racist. I have friends of mine who are whatever race. And so you really can't win that argument. And I've seen the Democrats play the race card quite well when they want to. And, of course, we have the usual suspects, the Al Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons, who make a pretty good living on race relations in the United States and their perceptions of it. And we can agree or disagree as to whether or not Al Sharpton is helping or hurting. I think he's come a long way since Tawana Brawley in New York, but having been born and raised in New York, I remember a lot of the stuff that he did back there, and I was not happy with it. But at the same time, he has helped bring this country a long way. I'm not sure, though, that would translate to the Republican Party having a valid claim on anything racially related. Because somewhere along the way, and I'd have to really look back and see when it happened, from the time that Lincoln freed the slaves until the Democrats pushed for civil rights reforms in the late 50s and early 60s, somewhere in there the party switched hands. I don't know what happened. But the Republican Party is just not one that's known for trying to do anything that helps other races. And unfortunately, we still live in a nation where the disparity between the words I'm looking for, social equality, does not exist between one race and the other. And so I think that we are I just get kind of taken aback when the Republican Party tries to do this. It's clearly for political reasons, and that we get caught up on it and start going on this round and around is a bit ridiculous.
I think a lot more people probably said what he said. They may not use the term Negro, but a lot of people were thinking it, whether they voiced it or not. I think many more people that are willing to admit it were thinking the same thing.
Well, Cheney, I don't think that it was necessarily the wrong thing to say. And when you start saying, "Well, I used the wrong words, but I don't back down from the principle," well, then that's not a racist. I mean, that's not.
If he weren't intelligent, no matter what color he is, if it weren't for the brains, he wouldn't have been elected into office. I think it was more just about that he's an intelligent man. He's well-spoken.
And that is really, honestly, the deal. I mean, when people say, well, was the United States ready for a black president? Well, obviously we were.
Obviously
we elected
we
one. But it came down to it had to be the right person, period, regardless of race. Could not have gotten Jesse Jackson elected last year. Al Sharpton elected last year.
No.
I think that it helped that he's not as liberal as maybe the rest of the Democratic Party. He is a moderate.
Well, let's pick this up on the other side of the break because we have to go to commercial right now. We'll be back in 2 minutes. You're listening to Common Sense.
The odds of having a boy who grows up loving baseball.
1 in 6.
Which earns him a college scholarship.
1 in 2,500.
That gets him a contract in the minors.
1 in 3,700.
Which leads to starting shortstop in the majors.
1 in 290,000.
The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism.
1 in 150. You know the odds. Now learn the signs. Go to autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Common Sense Economics Rule Number 8. A corporation that makes billions in profits should not stick taxpayers with the bill for their employee benefits. Walmart's record profits have made the Walton family the richest in America. But because they fail to offer affordable health coverage to 700,000 workers, taxpayers shell out billions for government care. Why should taxpayers bail out a corporation making record profits? Walmart can afford to be a better employer. Now would be a good time to start.
I was raised Irish Catholic. We had Jesus on one wall and JFK on the other. I've always had an impassioned love for this country, even when I disagree with it. So many people like to wrap themselves in the flag, forgetting what it stands for. That beacon of hope for people who had so little reason to hope. A people who believe that we could leave our children a world better than when we arrived. None of us are perfect, but politicians seem to have a knack for hypocrisy. It's because truth gets left behind when they arrive in Washington, choosing to win instead of doing the right thing. We've all seen the worst of our country. I would like to show my children the best. That's why I'm here. Tune in to Common Sense with Jim Alger. www.getcommonsenseradio.com.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio, 202-580-8514, 202-580-8514 from Washington, D.C., or really the entire eastern half of the United States. From the West Coast, you can reach us at 530-413-4511, 530-413-4511. And before the break, we were discussing the election of Barack Obama and how it played a race, how race played a part in the entire thing, and how we're watching the race card getting played now pretty much at the convenience of whoever it is trying to take the political shot. And right before the break, we were talking about how the Republican Party just doesn't seem to be the right people to be playing the race card. I don't know that really applies to every Republican, but it certainly applies to most and definitely the party. And so I think that's why we're not really ready to give someone like that like Trent Lott, for example. First of all, there's a big difference between saying that you want to, that you think the country would be better off if a segregationist was elected president of the United States, and saying that someone is speaking articulately, which is what Joe Biden had said. And I think what really shocked people was that
it wasn't Joe Biden; it was Harry Reid.
No, it was Joe Biden. Joe Biden made the comment that Barack Obama was an articulate speaker.
And
got himself in trouble for it. And I says, well, why would you get in trouble for it? And let's stop acting shocked that, you know, Joe Biden would look at a blue car and say, hey, that's blue. Of course,
I think
Barack's
it's more about
articulate.
Maybe people are angry that he said that it maybe appears that they're saying that it's shocking that he is well-spoken because he's black or in spite of being black.
Well, here's my issue with that. Here's my problem with that, Janie, and that is that it wasn't that long ago in Northern California when they were trying – I kid you not – they were trying to get Ebonics passed as a second language, qualified as an ESL class, claiming that African Americans have their own unique dialect. Well, isn't that what Harry Reid just said? That he doesn't have that dialect, and so now Harry Reid's getting in trouble for it. And a lot of people push back on this. If I remember correctly, Bill Cosby pushed back, and others pushed back because they said, you know what, speaking improper English is not appropriate. And if you want to be proud of your roots or your or whatever, and you want to speak that way, go ahead. But don't sit there and let's not go and make this a another language that's spoken in the United States. Now, you know, it becomes very delicate when you talk about this, but let's be honest here. You could be white, Hispanic, black. It doesn't matter. If you don't sound intelligent when you speak,
you're not going far.
And I don't mean talking white. I mean talking intelligent, understanding, being able to communicate your thoughts. You're not going anywhere. So it doesn't matter if you are a Hispanic family that doesn't want to learn English, and that's not the case. Most Hispanic parents, when they bring their kids here, the first thing they do is try to teach them to speak English. So it's because they understand that's how you excel in the United States, is if you're able to communicate with everyone else. Now, are there racial overtones? Yes, of course there are. But I really, you know, have an issue with regardless of what side they're on, when the politics of this starts getting played, that's when it becomes very bad for me. I don't want to stick on this subject too long because we can talk about this all day, and this is truly its entire show, and we could easily book guests to have a debate even on this subject. But I'll let you go ahead and finish up your thought, Natalie.
I know what surprises me is that the president himself has never not once played the race card. What surprises me...
You don't think he played the race card with that gentleman up in Boston?
No, I don't. I think he made a stupid comment.
The thing about what he said about the cop in Boston wasn't necessarily true. The cop did act stupidly. But where Barack messed up was did his friend. His friend acted stupidly too. With the police officer. Look, I was born and raised in New York, and I remember when Rodney King happened.
Where the president made his mistake is that he weighed into a local issue.
Well, where he honestly made a mistake was he put words to thought without thinking it through. I remember when Rodney King happened, and they said, he was beaten because he was black. And I was one of the people that sat back and said, no, he was probably beaten because he ran from the cops. I'm a white kid. I don't get any whiter than me. I'm Irish-Italian. And if I ran from the cops, I'm going to get my butt kicked. We just kind of knew that. So
what I'm trying to say, Jim, what I
– motives to someone is what I'm getting at. And we do this – we see this in politics all the time. So-and-so saying this because. Well, you don't know the because. I don't know the because. I don't know that someone's racist or not racist. I don't know that someone is actually doing this for political gain. And I can tell you this is one of the most frustrating things about politics, is
Even if that may be true, it doesn't make what they're saying false. For example, how do we know that just because a particular elected official receives money from XYZ lobby, that's why they're voting in support of XYZ lobby's agenda? We don't.
Okay, I know it's your show, but can you let me get a word in edgeways?
Why edgeways is what you're doing. Go ahead.
What I'm trying to say is it seems to me, looking as an outsider, it seems to me that it's become acceptable in the United States when you want to attack the president. If you can't do it, if you can't do it politically, you use his skin color. Since when is that acceptable in any country?
Well, I think the politics in the United States has really gotten about the silly and ridiculous, and applying motives to people. This is what I was getting at a second ago. Applying motives to people that you have no way of knowing if it's true or not. You can't know. We love to do things and say we know why this person is doing it and subscribe a motive to them when you don't know. And I've always believed in politics especially, but even your personal life, if you start saying so-and-so is doing something because of this, well, if you can't know what that person's motives are, then you're assuming. And when you assume, people tend to be wrong. So that's really a problem. But
there's a saying that my grandmother taught me: when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me.
Well, yes, but I was avoiding that. speaking of assuming and making an ass out of oneself, Gloria Allred held a news conference today, and I'm going to bring in Janie on this one because this is I hate this woman.
I hate her too, and you're going to make me talk about her.
I'm convinced that one day she's going to sue me. I don't know why, but I'm sure that I'll tick somebody off.
Okay, you guys need to explain to me and the rest of the international listeners who this woman is.
Gloria Allred is a ambulance-chasing publicity whore. Yeah, maybe
who
that'll
claims
get me sued
to be looking out for the for women's rights, yet she's representing women who put us back many, many years.
Oh, she injects herself into the legal woes of every whore. I'm sorry, of every of every female that gets sexually involved with any famous person. She was the one that negotiated the quote unquote deal between Rachel Uchitel and Tiger Woods. Now she's got someone else out there who is filing a lawsuit against Shaquille O'Neal, and I watched the press conference today, and from what I can tell, she's suing Shaquille O'Neal because he asked her to shut up, called her a bitch, and called her a few times. You know what? Seriously, lady, you've got caller ID. Stop answering the phone. If you have to, get a restraining order and tell the person to leave me alone. But when you sit there and you get your mug on television and hold a press conference with this person sitting next to you who just loves the attention, the most dangerous place in the world is between Gloria Allred and a TV set or a TV camera. When you sit up there, I can't take you seriously. When you say that I got involved, her name is Vanessa Lopez. She claims she's been in a 5-year relationship with Shaquille O'Neal, who, by the way, is married, and she knows is married. You're a whore. You're looking for money. It's not even an issue here what you're doing and why. And this woman is known to have been with other NBA stars, including Dilettante West, Kenyon Martin, and J.J. Redick. So give me a break, will you? This is about Gloria Allred getting her name back out there at the expense of another celebrity. And you tell me, Janie, but I am just absolutely fed up with this woman.
I think the whole Tiger Woods ordeal has spawned this incident.
Well, the Tiger Woods ordeal kind of spoke to this, but this woman has latched herself to everything from the O.J. Simpson trial on. O.J. Simpson was one. She latched herself onto, oh, help me out here, the guy in Northern California that killed his wife. And yeah, Amber Fry. She latched herself onto that.
Trial.
I mean, there's a case after case after case that you know, she just, that's her gig. And she always has to wear red because, get it, her name's all red. It's really kind of sick. I don't know why we pay attention to these people. I really don't. I just figured I was going to lament about her for a few minutes, and then I was going to let that one go and send her off because we have some really huge news out of Hollywood tonight, and I want to lament about this for a while. So we're gonna cut off of the politics for a few minutes here, and I want to lament about this. Conan O'Brien is getting screwed with his pants on. For those of you who don't know, let me give you the headline. The headline is Conan O'Brien is leaving NBC. But for those of you who don't know the backstory, and some of this is going based on information and belief, but from what accounts are, Jay Leno essentially forced Johnny Carson off the Tonight Show over a decade ago. Jay Leno's agents behind the scenes basically shoved the deal. Anybody who wants the backstory on that one can watch The Late Shift. It's happening all over again. NBC has placed Jay Leno. They had him at the 10 o'clock time slot, and he bombed. Let's be honest, he bombed. When we come back from the commercial, we're going to talk about this because I want to talk about what I think is really going on at NBC, and I think some people are making some really bad mistakes here, and they are applying a brand to Jay Leno that they really shouldn't be applying. I don't think the guy is worthy of what they are doing to Conan and or The Tonight Show. To me, that's a problem. So we're going to have Seth here roll the commercial, and we'll be back in 2 minutes.
The right-wing extremist Republican base is back. They lost the election. They lost on the Recovery Act, the budget, and children's health care. They've lost the confidence of the American people after 8 years of failed policies that ruined our economy and cost millions of jobs. Now, desperate Republicans and their well-funded allies are organizing angry mobs, just like they did during the election. Their goal? Destroy President Obama and stop the change Americans voted for overwhelmingly in November.
It will break him.
I hope he fails.
This mob activity is straight from the playbook of high-level Republican political operatives. They have no plan for moving our country forward, so they've called out the mob.
And I want to know, why are you people ignoring his instructions?
Call the Republican Party. Tell them you've had enough of the mob. The Democratic National Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Common Sense Economics Rule Number 11. If a corporation makes record profits in this economy, they can afford to offer basic health coverage to their employees. Walmart makes $25,000 in profit every minute. Gave their CEO an $8 million bonus, but still refuses to offer affordable health coverage to 700,000 employees, nearly half their workforce. America's largest corporation can afford to be a better employer. Now would be a good time to start.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio, 202-580-8514, 202-580-8514 from Washington, D.C., or really the entire eastern half of the United States. From the West Coast, you can reach us at 530-413-4511, 530-413-4511. And right before the break, we were talking about the Jay Leno fiasco, and I really am quite upset about this because I think that NBC is making a critical mistake.
So are they trying to bring Jay Leno back on The Tonight Show?
It's already done. Jay Leno's getting his Tonight Show back. Jay Leno has been able
Conan
to push
O'Brien
for
that.
Around. And to me, and first of all, this problem over at NBC was preventable and foreseeable. Let's take Jay Leno out of it for a second. Let's say you replaced the 10 o'clock time slot with any singular show, such as Wheel of Fortune, for example, just anything. It doesn't matter. if people don't love that show every single day and want to see it every single day, you're going to lose a percentage of the audience. So when you have a situation where a percentage of the audience is now gone, you no longer have the lead-ins. And what was happening was Leno was performing poorly. Now, the NBC viewed it as, well, they could pay a lot less money. They could pay Leno for a week for what it would cost to blow up one truck on a TV show. So they'd make more money this way. But what they failed to calculate in was that if Leno's ratings were so depressed, people would change the channel at 9:59 p.m. And then they would lose that following, both from the 10 to 11 o'clock hour. Then nobody's going to change to NBC just to watch their local nightly news, their local news. And then that they lose the lead-in into the Tonight Show. So what they did was they basically sabotaged their entire late-night lineup and have mistakenly thought that Jay Leno was the moneymaker. What if Jay Leno was the moneymaker? He'd have been performing very well at 10 o'clock. Instead, we saw Conan's numbers die off shortly after Leno came in at 10. We've seen Leno's numbers pretty much flatline, and the entire late-night thing get decimated. So now
the same thing happened. You see the same thing happen here. If the 10 o'clock program is not performing very well, the 11 o'clock program is not going to perform very well because people have already changed the channel at 9:59.
Yeah, that is the problem. So it's – I think that NBC is making a tragic mistake here in mistaking the brand of The Tonight Show for the brand of Jay Leno. And now it looks like Conan has pretty much just said sayonara. It looks like he's not planning on accepting the NBC moving The Tonight Show to 12:05. And so now Jay Leno is getting his Tonight Show back, which, you know, may be good for Jay Leno. But at some point, you know, I think
that NBC are losing an asset with Conan O'Brien.
I think they're losing an asset with Conan O'Brien. I think they are allowing Jay Leno too much ability to muscle things around the network.
You know what I think NBC should do? I think NBC should keep Conan O'Brien on the Tonight Show and give Jay Leno's 10 o'clock slot to us.
To us.
We'd make a good 10 o'clock slot.
I am not. No, we would not. I am not even remotely going to put myself in that category. You're out of your mind. I think that in watching how NBC has done this, one of the things that bugs me is I have a feeling we're going to find out down the road that Jay Leno had a lot more to do with this than meets the eye. I think that his whole aw shucks, you know, I really don't know what's going on thing is a lot for show. There's too much working in his favor for him to not know what's going on. I think that he risked being canceled. And my guess is there's been some really good agent work going on behind the scenes, and Leno's agent's better than O'Brien's. That's my guess. But this is very resemblant of how NBC treated David Letterman and lost David Letterman.
I think it's almost
you know, an exact copy of they screwed around with Letterman. They didn't give Letterman the Tonight Show like he had thought he was going to get. Leno's agent muscled in and got the Tonight Show and then forced, according to reports, Carson off the show. And Carson was a beloved figure. Carson gets sick of it and he announces retirement and leaves 12 months later. And then Letterman says to hell with NBC and walks over to CBS, where he's been ever since. Now, Letterman is the number one show now since the NBC changeup. And not just O'Brien, but Carson Daly as well, are all getting kind of stuck hanging out in the cold.
I wish they'd just put Letterman on The Tonight Show.
But I'm sorry?
I wish that they would put Letterman on The Tonight Show. I just think he deserves that chair.
Well, Letterman deserved The Tonight Show. There's no two ways about it. But what I will say is back then you had some really awesome agent work by Letterman's people and by Leno's people. And that was much more of a fair, this is up for grabs thing, with the exception of forcing Carson out, where they had done the deal. They figured that Leno was going to take over when Carson was gone. And then someone decided it's time for Carson to go. And they kind of showed him to the door. Now we've got a less up-in-the-air thing. You're talking about Jay Leno muscling his way back in and taking the Tonight Show away from Conan O'Brien. And let's be realistic here. The reason any of this is happening is because Jay Leno refused to leave. He did not exit stage left when his tenure at the Tonight Show was over. And it's been anything from a gracious departure. I'm really getting turned off to Leno's antics. How much money does someone need? Why do you need to keep doing this? You're fine. You're financially set for life. You know, it's time to walk away and not do this to Conan. But that's just my two cents. I don't.
I'm shaking my head. He's replacing his replacement. And I just, to this day, I don't quite get it all. Do they think he's going to get the ratings back?
Well, my guess is the ratings may come back. You know, but here's an interesting problem, and that is that there is a rumor out there that Conan O'Brien may get a deal on Fox for an 11 o'clock to midnight show. Well,
as long as they include Richter, I'm fine with that.
Well,
as long as what?
I'm an Andy Richter fan, so I think Conan needs Andy Richter no matter where he goes. As long as he's in on the deal, I'm okay.
I think that Fox is also making some critical mistakes in recent times. I mean, they've hired Sarah Palin.
Well, yeah, but that's Fox News, and
which is not shocking in the least.
But see, when are Americans going to realize that this woman is dangerous, not just for America, but for the rest of the world?
Oh no. Got that right.
Well, I want to read for you guys what Conan O'Brien has issued in his statement, because this is quite interesting. He issues a letter to the people of Earth. I'm not kidding. In the last few days, I've been getting a lot of sympathy calls, and I want to start making it clear that no one should waste a second feeling sorry for me. For 17 years, I've been getting paid to do what I love most. And in a world with real problems, I've been absurdly lucky. That said, I've been suddenly put in a very public predicament, and my bosses are demanding an immediate decision. 6 years ago, I signed a contract with NBC to take over the Tonight Show in June of 2009. Like a lot of us, I grew up watching Johnny Carson every night, and the chance to one day sit in that chair has meant everything to me. I worked long and hard to get that opportunity, passed up far more lucrative offers, and since 2004, I have spent literally hundreds of hours thinking of ways to extend the franchise long into the future. It was my mistaken belief that, like my predecessor, I would have the benefit of some time and, just as important, some degree of rating support from the prime time schedule. Building a lasting audience at 11:30 is impossible without both. But sadly, we were never given that chance. After only 7 months with my Tonight Show in its infancy, NBC has decided to react to their terrible difficulties in prime time by making a change in their long-established late-night schedule. Last Thursday, NBC executives told me they intend to move the Tonight Show to 12:05 to accommodate the Jay Leno Show at 11:35. For 60 years, the Tonight Show has aired immediately following the late local news. I sincerely believe that delaying the Tonight Show into the next day to accommodate another comedy program will seriously damage what I consider to be the greatest franchise in the history of broadcasting. The Tonight Show at 12:05 simply isn't the Tonight Show. Also, if I accept this move, I will be knocking the Late Show, which I inherited from David Letterman and passed on to Jimmy Fallon, out of its long-held time slot. That would hurt the other NBC franchise that I love, and it would be unfair to Jimmy. So wow. It has come to this. I cannot express in words how much I enjoy hosting this program and what enormous personal disappointment it is for me to consider losing it. My staff and I have worked unbelievably hard, and we are very proud of our contribution to the legacy of the Tonight Show. But I cannot participate in what I honestly believe is its destruction. Some people will make the argument that with DVRs and the Internet, a time slot doesn't matter. But with the Tonight Show, I believe nothing could matter more. There has been speculation about my going to another network, but to set the record straight, I currently have no other offer and honestly have no idea what happens next. My hope is that NBC and I can resolve this quickly so my staff, crew, and I can do a show we can be proud of for a company that values our work. Have a great day, and for the record, I am truly sorry about my hair. It's always been that way. Yours, Conan. To me, that is the words of a guy who's being stand-up, and Leno is simply not. Leno.
I've never really liked Jay Leno.
I'm liking him much less now. And
I haven't liked him for a long time. I just don't think he's funny in the least.
I know this is not scientific, but 93%.
Right, but that's a requirement for me.
93% of people taking the poll on TMZ are saying that Conan should quit NBC, and that's 96,000 votes in so far. So I think there's, you know, it says something. It says a lot about Conan that he's thinking about Jimmy Fallon.
And the
other franchises. I think it says a lot about Leno that he's just all about taking back the Tonight Show and doesn't really seem to care about anything other than being on TV himself. And to sit here and act as if he has nothing to do with it and has nothing to say and can't be responsible for what's going on around him is, frankly, BS.
It's lunacy.
I wish more people would call him on this. Stop it, Jay. We know what you're doing. You want the Tonight Show back. You didn't want to leave. And you want to be back on the air, and this is about you. And I think that, you know, I think that we're okay to call him on that.
So if he didn't want to leave, why did he leave?
Well, because the contract had him leave. So that's our
Someone chose not to renew it, so what is he doing back? I'm just confused.
Well, this is just, it's good agenting work, but at the same time, it's
mad because, I mean, NBC planned for 6 years to have Conan O'Brien take over the show in 2009.
Well, because at the time they offered Leno the contract, Leno could only be, oh my God, I'm getting the Tonight Show, and you can't dream beyond that period of time. You know, you've been there for over a decade, and you're saying, well, okay, that's fine. They're guaranteeing me this much time, so you're going to take it. Then when that much time is up, you know, it's like, well, wait, I want more. And like a child, you know, insists on having more, and now he's
that
willing.
This is
Jay Leno is willing to blow up the Tonight Show franchise to get an 11:30 to 12:05 show. That's the bottom line. And why no one is calling him out on that? And maybe
it's a childhood tantrum.
Maybe we should get people over at Mediaite and TMC to just call this what it is. Jay Leno is willing to blow up the franchise to have his own show. And
you know what?
That's
you know
just what, Jim? What I do know, Natalie, is we got to go to commercial. And we will pick this conversation up in 2 minutes. We'll be back.
Why would politicians like Bart Stupak introduce abortion into America's healthcare debate? Why are they trying to make it more difficult than ever before for women to buy insurance coverage for abortion in the new healthcare system? Even if they use their own money? Why? Because they want to impose one of the worst restrictions on a woman's right to choose in a generation. Go to ProChoiceAmerica.org today and call on your member of Congress to say no to anti-choice, anti-healthcare attacks.
I was raised Irish Catholic. We had Jesus on one wall and JFK on the other. I've always had an impassioned love for this country, even when I disagree with it. So many people like to wrap themselves in the flag, forgetting what it stands for. That beacon of hope for a people who had so little reason to hope. A people who believe that we could leave our children a world better than when we arrived. None of us are perfect, but politicians seem to have a knack for hypocrisy. It's because truth gets left behind when they arrive in Washington, choosing to win instead of doing the right thing. We've all seen the worst of our country. I would like to show my children the best. That's why I'm here. Tune in to Common Sense with Jim Alger, www.getcommonsenseradio.com. I was raised Irish Catholic. We had Jesus on one wall and JFK on the other. I've always had an impassioned love for this country, even when I disagree with it. So many people like to wrap themselves in the flag, forgetting what it stands for. That beacon of hope for people who had so little reason to hope. A people who believe that we could leave our children a world better than when we arrived. None of us are perfect. The politicians seem to have a knack for hypocrisy. It's because truth gets left behind when they arrive in Washington, choosing to win instead of doing the right thing. We've all seen the worst of our country. I would like to show my children the best. That's why I'm here. Tune in to Common Sense with Jim Alger, www.getcommonsenseradio.com.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio, 202-580-8514, 202-580-8514 from Washington, D.C., or really the entire eastern half of the United States. From the West Coast, you can reach us at 530-413-4511, 530-413-4511. And we're going back to the story that we're talking about when the show first came on, this major 7.0 earthquake in Haiti. We have some breaking news coming in now. The United Nations headquarters in Haiti says that they are suffering severe damage and many of their personnel are missing. In Haiti, so we are...
Jim, I have it from the Times Online that the UN headquarters in Haiti has been destroyed.
Yeah, it's pretty close to what I was getting. I was waiting to confirm that, but it is looking like this is going to be a really big mess out there, and one has to wonder, the government has not exactly been that stable out there, and so... We've got to wonder how this is all gonna play out. Obviously, now would be a really good time whenever these things happen to look at the relief agencies, and if you can afford to donate due to the International Red Cross, you can call them at 1-800-HELP-NOW, as well as other international relief agencies, the Salvation Army, of course. And I think it's we have to kind of look at this. This is going to be a developing story over the next several days. And while we are sitting here talking about who said what about whom a year ago during a campaign in Washington, there are people out there underneath their homes and underneath buildings that are dying right now as we're on the air. And this is just one of those things that kind of makes you take a step back and realize what's really important. And, we sit here and we do this goofy show, and we take our opinions, and we hope that other people care about them or that they want to hear what we have to say. And at some times we try to do some good and steer people in the right direction. And then something like this will happen, and it's not us. It's not our house. It's not New Orleans. It's another country, that is a poor country. We are suddenly reminded of our own humanity. And
they're always affected so much more with the structures or the lack of structure. I mean, they don't have what we have here for buildings, and they just crumble.
Yeah, it really is. They don't have, like I said, a big, strong government structure there. This is going to be a disaster. I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of casualties from this, and probably a lot more than we really want to believe is possible. A 7.0 is no joke.
You know what, Jim? There aren't many people in the world that have been through an earthquake. Even a small earthquake is terrifying. So I can't imagine how these people must be feeling. And
well, coming from California, I can tell you we've been through it, but this is something else.
Well, we've been through it here.
We've got to run. That's Seth telling us that our shoot is over.
This has been Common Sense. On behalf of Janie, Jensie, Natalie, Chris, Mike, myself, and the entire Common Sense crew, thank you for joining us. Common Sense airs live every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, with the internet feed stream beginning 5 minutes earlier, courtesy of BBS Radio. Episodes are available on demand via iTunes. For further information, visit the show's webpage at www.getcommonsenseradio.com. The Common Sense Radio Show would like to send a very special thank you to our engineer, Seth Hendrick, as well as our musical composer, Stephen Glossner. Until next week, stay safe, keep your head held high, and remember to always replace the spin with common sense. Take them home, Steve.